5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
TV Zone Plus, hosted by Paul Mount and Scott Holmes.
It's time for a special edition TV Zone Plus podcast episode! Filmed in front of a live studio audience. I'm not. I'm a comedy genius. Considering our special episode is for the Justice League Snyder Cut, the movie's 4 hours long, so we thought we might have a few things to speak about it, so we thought we'd do a special one-off episode so it doesn't make our usual episodes 4 hours long in themselves.
But this might be 4 hours long.
It could be. It's hardly possible because we don't shut up.
I'm hoping it won't be because I need a wee.
Oh.
I'm Paul Mount.
I told you to go before. I'm Scott Holmes.
That's right. This is the TV Zone Plus podcast. Spodcast?
Spod?
Spodcast. TV Zone Plus Spodcast.
I do a professional, fantastic opening, and you mess up with Spodcast.
Well, there we are. That's what they expect. That's what our punters expect. Welcome to another Spodcast, a special edition, an additional edition to our normal
routine. See, we're going to have to change the title to Spodcast Special Expedition or something like that.
Should we start recording again? It's all gone horribly wrong. No, we thought, as young Scott here said, we are doing a extra edition. It's not, instead of a regular edition, it's a bonus.
Yeah, we're recording again this Sunday. Today is the 24th of March.
It's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday. And this Sunday we're still going to be recording our usual
packed with content edition. And two new features. We'll be introducing Don't Shoot the Pilot, where Scott and I will be watching a pilot of an old TV episode of an old TV series from the 70s, because a lot of these are freely available on YouTube. So we'll be reviewing Fantastic Journey from 1975, 6-ish, I think. And another new feature, which we are now announcing formally here and there, it's called Studying Star Wars. I just thought of that now. Studying Star Wars. Anyway, I decided this week to watch all the Star Wars films in chronological order, because as we've mentioned in the past, young Scott here is the big Star Wars geek, and I'm the one who can watch these films and thought, yeah, I quite enjoyed that. But I'm not, you know, au fait with all the mythology. So I'm going back to the very beginning, i.e. The Phantom Menace, and I'll be watching all the Star Wars films and the spin-off films in
It's order. Very much like Scott's homework.
Very much like Scott's homework.
It's Paul's homework.
It's more like discovering Doctor Who, really.
Yeah.
Where you watched all
it's
Doctor
Who.
A
mix of both, yeah. Yeah, mix of both. So we're going to be doing that on All To Come on Sunday.
So see, even though this podcast is, coming up to 4 years old, we're still innovating. We're still creating new content.
Even though people are screaming out for some of our old content that we never finished.
Diddly 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 diddly.
Meanwhile, after Paul has punched Scott for saying things that he shouldn't say.
We'll cut all this out. Anyway, this special edition, as Scott said, is to discuss Justice League, the Snyder Cut.
Snyder.
Reasoning that, obviously, there is quite a bit to say. We'd probably spend the best part of an hour in the normal episode. So we thought we'd just do this little spin-off episode just to wrap up the Snyderverse once and for all.
So be warned, if you haven't seen the Snyder Cut and you don't want any sort of extras spoiled, go watch it then, listen.
Yeah.
Not much to spoil the story, because it's still the same story, just with Zack Snyder's sort of original ideas and taking away Joss Whedon's reshoots.
Exactly. I put out a Facebook and, I think, Twitter call for any comments and opinions from people, and a few people came back and said they hadn't watched it yet. They were going to watch it this weekend. Some people, I'm making it sound as if lots of people replied. One or two people said they were waiting to get it on Blu-ray, which I think is coming out in May.
Anytime,
but
yeah.
We have had a couple of responses. So once we've gone through our views, we will just run through a couple of replies that we did have. Thank you to those of you who did reply. Feel free to carry on sending messages as and when you do see Justice League, the Snyder Cut, because just because it's out there doesn't mean to say people can stop talking about it, because it's something people will be discovering for quite a while, I think so. Before we talk about what it is, then just briefly reminding everybody what the Snyder Cut actually is. Following the release of Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice, Zack Snyder went on to do his third DC Universe film, which was Justice League. As is obviously very well known, he had to leave the project during production because of a family tragedy, and Joss Whedon was drafted in to finish the film off, which he very nearly did, quite frankly. he worked with some of Zack Snyder's footage. He filmed some new stuff. He tried to give it the Whedon magic touch of making it a bit more comedic. He tried to bring a bit of the magic that he brought to the first Avengers film. But the film didn't go down very well. It was a bit of a hodgepodge. The tone was all over the place. It really didn't work. I know that, Scott, you enjoyed it more than I did.
Yes.
I don't want to keep mentioning the M word, but I still feel that Marvel are the benchmark for these sorts of films.
You were going to keep mentioning the M word.
I'm going to try not to, though. But it's hard not to when you're talking about superhero films. Since the original film came out, there's been this massive call from fans. We want the Snyder Cut. We want the Snyder
Cut. Hashtags and all.
Hashtags and all these campaigns. And I'll admit I didn't think this thing existed.
It was never going to happen.
It's never going to happen. And the studio said it was never going to happen. But I think it's the power of social media.
Mm.
And I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing long term. But it sort of dictated the fact that ultimately the studio caved in. I think he was given a budget of something like 40 million or 70 million. To go and bring this thing together for HBO, which
I imagine in the background were they, you better make this worth our bloody while.
Yeah, I can imagine there's probably a lot riding on it.
Yes.
And I think for HBO in America, they wanted to drive people to subscribe to the channel because HBO is a good channel, but I think they need to get more people on board. So it's partly to satisfy the fans or to shut the fans up, plus for it, give HBO some exclusive content to get people watching the channel. And this thing has finally arrived. It arrived last Friday, was it Thursday or Friday?
Yep.
Thursday, I think it was.
18th of March.
18th of March, which was Thursday, I can't think of it, yeah. And we watched it. Most people have watched it. I know you watched it all in one go. Have you watched it once or twice now?
Well, you say all in one go.
Well, you did doze off, didn't you, I think?
I mistakenly was going to start watching it, but because my internet's been really bad of late, it wouldn't load properly. So I ended up having to wait a little bit later.
Because it's available on Sky Cinema today through Now TV.
So I started watching it at 11 o'clock-ish.
Mm.
And then I think, yeah, it was by about 2 o'clock. I started dozing off, so I was missing bits. So I thought, right, I better turn it off because I don't want to miss, you know, important bits. And I watched the last bit then the next day. And
I watched it, yeah. In case anybody's interested, before we talk about what we thought of it, I watched, I think, the first hour. Because I was going to watch it in 4-hour-long chunks, but I watched the second hour, and then the last 2 and a bit hours, I think I watched in one go, because that's when it sort of really picks up the pace. So, it is a slog, but as you're the biggest fan of DC between us, I mean, I love the DC characters, but I don't think they've been well served. What did you think of the Snyder Cut, Scott?
I enjoyed the film in the first place, you know, acknowledging it had many, many issues. Many issues. This sort of takes those issues, throws them away, and creates something that's wholly better. I really enjoyed it. It was, I suppose it's like the masterpiece of DC, you know, because we haven't had that masterpiece. We've had good films like Aquaman or Wonder Woman, you know, not Wonder Woman 84.
Don't talk about that.
You know, we've had some good DC movies, but none of them have been sort of exceptional. This kind of takes it a step towards the exceptional. It's not exceptional yet, you know, because there's still a lot of work that could have been done to it. But this fixes the problems of the original movie. We get origin stories. Yes, it would be nice to have the origin stories of the characters they've introduced, like Cyborg, Flash, and so on. But we actually get a reason for these characters to be there. The biggest fix for me was Cyborg. Because in the original release, Cyborg was really underutilized. He was really unexplored. This gives him a backstory, gives him a fighting reason, gives him a great character arc of being quite recoiled by his father because, you know, his father created him using the help of a mother box. You know, he's adapting to being a robot. But, you know, this gives you a reason why he has an arc from being, I'm not happy with all this, to, I'm going to accept this and I'm going to help people. The Flash also has a nice sort of extra build towards his character. You get to meet who I assume is Iris, which is the character's love, you know, throughout the story. It just expands on the stuff that we really, really missed. You know, the original, it jumped from one point to another in story, and you just thought, wow, this is moving really, really fast without kind of telling us anything. All these extra bits kind of fill in that, and it just makes a better movie. Batman isn't just the guy that stands there with an alien gun anymore. You know, he's got a lot more hand-to-hand combat scenes. He feels a lot more like Batman that you'd expect. You know, he's calculating, he makes a plan, he fights. He's not overpowered, but he's not underutilized, which, you know, in the original cut, it was mostly just Batman stood on the sidelines watching, shooting with an alien gun and using a big robot. You know, it just didn't look right. Superman doesn't have his crazy weird mustache disappearing trick, which is always a good thing. Now, the pacing of the movie is a big plus for what we've had, because originally you start with Batman in Gotham and he's taking down this parademon, and it shows a picture of the three mother boxes on the wall and such. That just felt so obvious, you know, that there's no kind of detective skills for Batman here. It's just a case of, why are those three boxes on the wall? Oh, I know, it's the mother box. Huh? How'd you figure all that out? Whereas this, everything kind of goes in motion, and you'd expect it to, being a four-hour movie. It's a shame that we needed 2 extra hours to make this movie work, because really speaking, you should be, if you're going to be doing it for a studio, you should be planning, I need this movie to work in 2 hours. With the amount of content that was in here, it could have been split up into 2 movies, you know, and that would have made it better. Obviously, the studio just wanted the one. But with these extra 2 hours, it does make a cohesive, enjoyable, long-lasting movie with a great beginning. It is a lot of talky-talk stuff the first maybe hour and a half to 2 hours. There's a lot of kind of character building and stuff, but that's fine. You expect that. Don't normally get about 2 hours worth of it. You normally get about half an hour. And the ending is great. You know, one of my big pluses, you actually get to see, and they've introduced Darkseid, who is the big bad behind everything, much like Thanos, which in the original cut you didn't get. You know, you've just got this Steppenwolf character who is the underling, who seems to be the big bad, and it just didn't make any sense on why he was such a big problem. You saw weakness in Steppenwolf in the this redo. You know, you kind of understood why he was doing what he was doing. My biggest issue still is the idea of the mother boxes. They get captured by the original Age of Heroes, and Darkseid seems to get where he left them. You know, that always baffled me, and I thought they were going to make a fix on that, on why he never went back to get those mother boxes. But it's still a case of, oh, I found the mother boxes, they're on this planet. Surely you would remember where your greatest defeat happened. But yeah, Darkseid seemed to have forgotten about that. But it does give an extra extent to the danger, because there's this secret built into the planet for world domination, for, like, you know, dominating everything. So there's loads of extra stuff that happens. New character additions, you know, that they've done a very sleek and very nice little introduction of Martian Manhunter, which is really, really cool. I pretty much enjoyed the whole movie, minus the epilogue. The epilogue is where it went a bit flat. So the epilogue kind of takes us back to that desolate wasteland that we've seen in Batman vs Superman. Batman's all brown coated up and stuff. He's got a couple of extra characters there, like Amber Heard's character and stuff. And the Joker's there as well. I've heard people say that this is the best interaction between Batman and the Joker they've ever seen. It's balls. It's really... The conversation they had, because the Joker, you know, in this aftermath world, Superman has turned evil and he's basically destroyed everything. That was the point of Batman vs Superman. Batman believed that this is what was going to happen to Superman, so he stopped him. But this whole dream thing is coming back into fruition. So the Joker sat there and he's muttering things, you know, trying to kind of poke and prod Batman, saying it's your fault you did this and all. And Batman's getting very aggressive. And then it comes that, stupid bloody Jared Leto Joker laugh that I don't like it. I hate it. It annoys me whenever he's there and he does that laugh. I just want to punch
him. He should laugh like this.
I don't disagree with you, Alfred, but I'm going to have to hear.
Or this. Well, maybe not that.
Although that's probably better than the ending section is the only bit that really kind of made me think, Now, it does smack of desperation for a sequel. You know, I know the original probably did try to set up the sequel before, you know, Zack Snyder had to leave and such, but this again smacks of give me a sequel, let me make a sequel. I doubt it's ever going to happen. You know,
yeah, I'd say it's pretty much guaranteed it's not going to happen personally.
If this kind of kicks up enough fuss of a following, we already know that social media can make things happen these days, so it might happen. But yeah, there's loads of setups to make a continuing story based on this happen, you know, with the introduction of Darkseid and such. But we'll see what happens with that. Great, really, really good. Nice fixes for pretty much everything that you'd be worried about. Great fight scenes. Steppenwolf looks a bit more intimidating with his sort of transformery type dharma stuff that keeps moving. CGI still a bit dodgy, you know, unfortunately. But I think that's because it's still the original creation rather than the...
I think part of it is there's so much bloody CGI.
Welcome to DC.
There's so much CGI. There's so much green screen. It's
this is DC for you though. DC, every movie they've done, it's laced with CG green screen stuff. Some of it is a bit dodgy and some of it is a bit weak. But it didn't take me out of the moment. The dialogue is better than it was before. You know, with all the reshoots and the sort of extra shoots. So yeah, it's the same movie, same story, just amped up to 100 rather than lowered down to 10. The epilogue, as I say, spoiled it for me a bit, but out of a 4-hour movie, if only 10 minutes of it spoiled it, I consider myself quite lucky.
Yes. Okay, excellent. Yeah.
What about you, Paul?
Well, yeah, I went into this not expecting to enjoy it because I sort of tolerated.
Because it's not Marvel.
No, not just because I didn't. I just didn't think the original was a good film, and I was disappointed because it's Joss Whedon. I've always been a big fan of Joss Whedon. I think he's a great writer and a great director, but I think there were obviously issues with Age of Ultron that he wasn't happy making that, and I think he was drafted in to do that, and I think that the studio expected him to do an Avengers on it, but I think the problem is that he was working with material that had already been shot. That wasn't his style.
It wasn't his movie.
It wasn't his movie. So he had to, and I know he gets criticised a lot for it, but he was trying to make something out of, he was trying to make something Joss Whedon out of something Zack Snyder. It's very hard for a director to come on board.
And they're very polar opposite.
Yeah, the opposite. He's got his certain style. Zack Snyder, if you look at all the films he's done, there's a sort of darkness to them and that sort of tone.
Slow motion.
Slow motion, which we'll talk about in a moment. But Joss Whedon isn't like that. Joss Whedon's a bit lighter. He deals with dark subjects, but in a lighter sort of way. So I went into it thinking, well, this is going to be a slog because I didn't like the original. And the first hour I thought was paralysingly dull because there was so much bloody slow motion. And you had some good action scenes. If you're watching an action scene, you want to be there in an action scene, in the middle of it, the pace, the adrenaline. But all of a sudden, it just slows, and he does the slow motion shot. That battle on Themyscira?
Themyscira.
That's the one, yeah. When I can never remember. That's a stupid word. I'm going to call it Wonder Woman's Country, which could be even worse if I...
Themyscira. Think mascara, but Themyscira.
Themyscira. Oh, it's close enough.
Close.
Anyway, when Darkseid goes there to recover the Mother Box, there's a great action scene, a great scene where he's... You know, the Amazons are fighting him and he's fighting them. And you think, oh, this is really good. And all of a sudden, slow motion. You know, people flying off horses in slow motion. Darkseid. It just stops the action. And you're taken right out of it. And he does it again and again. The worst example was the scene with the Flash rescuing the woman who we assume is Iris from the lorry crash thing. And that's, he sets it up. Or the bloke's in his lorry and he drops his hot dog and he picks it up. And then all of a sudden, it just stops. And it's like 2 minutes. What would have been 10 second scene? It's two minutes long.
I think that bit is to emphasize the Flash's speed.
Yeah, but it must made him look bloody slow. I could have got there from here.
Because they do it with Quicksilver in like X-Men.
Yeah, but don't forget, like we haven't seen the Flash do anything yet, really. So show him fast. Don't show him going very slow. And he's just, we know he's going to save her. And all this stuff with the hot dog, and I just got exasperated, and I thought it's just.
But you needed the hot dog for the puppies.
Well, yeah, I know what puppies he was after, mate. But then into the second hour, then I sort of appreciated what it was doing and what it was able to achieve. And yes, as you said, the story now makes much more sense. And again, I'm not, you know, I know Joss Whedon's not the flavour of the month at the moment, but I'm not criticising his version because the studio wanted 2 hours, and I think what he brought in was what he could work with the material he had and the changes he wanted to make.
But well, if you think about it as well, he probably didn't have any contact with Zack Snyder Zack Snyder's situation was horrific anybody to experience.
Nobody's, you know, he's not going to ring him up and say, oh, Zack, what about this, but what about that?
I know you're currently in a horrible place, but you know, I need to ask you a couple of questions. So, you know, credit to Joss Whedon for bringing this film to the way it was.
It was sort of never going to work because the story was obviously going to be more than 2 hours because there's more story in there. So, yes, it does flow better. You do get a lot more backstory. You understand what the mother boxes are. Yes, you see. And again, as you say, Steppenwolf was just this random bad guy in the original version. But now you do get a bit of backstory. You understand he's working for Darkseid. You get more. And I think that is good in terms of the characters and the story and the various story arcs. The stuff with Cyborg was great because you understood more about where he came from and why he felt bitter towards his father. The Flash, although I find Ezra Miller intensely irritating, he works better. The problem with the original always was, and I've always said it, is that, you know, DC wanted their Avengers, but you'd only had Batman, Superman and Wonder Woman at that point. All of a sudden, you had three new characters rammed into a two-hour film, plus a story, plus all the battles.
But you didn't even have Wonder Woman by...
Wonder Woman. You'd seen Wonder Woman in...
Because she was in Batman and Superman, but she didn't have her own movie.
I don't think the first Wonder Woman had come up by then.
It hadn't, because the picture that they showed...
But we'd seen Wonder Woman, so we knew... broadly speaking, who she was, because we'd seen her before.
And if you lived under a rock, you probably still know who Wonder Woman was.
I think Wonder Woman is one of those sort of superhero characters who is very well known. So I think that the first one had too much to do in introducing those characters, and this does it better. So because it's got the extra running time, and it does allow you to be more interested in those characters than you would have been normally. And then you get into the resurrecting Superman stuff, which is, as far as I can remember, fairly similar to the version that we saw already.
That was pretty much
the whole battle the same stuff thing. Was, I think, I remember that.
Every single fight scene was different.
Yeah.
Which was really nice, you know, because it was the way the movie wanted it to be rather than what Joss Whedon could make out of it. Every battle scene was different and really, really good in that sense.
What I thought about it, and I think I said this on my YouTube review, to check out my YouTube channel, Paul Mount's World of Stuff.
Wink, mention.
Subscribe, like, and all that stuff.
That's Paul Mount's World of Stuff.
World of Stuff, yeah. It's the original, I suppose, is a bit like carpet that's sort of wrinkled up.
Yeah.
This is like the carpet that's been stretched out.
Yeah.
And all the wrinkles have been layered out.
Oh, you painted such a picture.
Oh, it's like I'm watching the film, I tell you. But no, it is. It's like all the wrinkles have been ironed out. And that's what you get. Now, whether you like what you get is a different thing, but what you've got is now the full story of this. And I liked it more than the original. The problem I have with it, and all Zack Snyder said, is this tone, this grey. I don't know if it was the where I was watching it from, but it wasn't very colourful. It was sort of sepia tinged and quite...
It pretty much was that, Most of it was... The only kind of lightened up bits was Cyborg's eye.
Yeah.
And the sort of final battle had a lot of sort of colour.
I think what it boils down to is that I've always said it, that I just don't want my superhero stuff to be that dark, because I think if you can fly and have these superpowers, you're having a great time. So I don't think you want to be that grim all the time. If you look back at, you know, the studios produced by the M people... they're always colourful, bright primary colours, and it just explodes off the screen. You don't want me to say Marvel. Oh, I've said it. But their films look sharp and crisp. This just looked a bit sort of muddy and fuzzy. And like I said, with the green screen scenes, half the time I couldn't quite work out where we were supposed to be because the green screen work was a bit dodgy. I think that scene where Diana goes to the temple to find the arrow that's been fired. The backgrounds and everything, it was all very much...
I tell you what did make me laugh about that bit, though, was the fact that the arrow was still there.
Yeah.
You know, they've had the fire brigade go in, clear out all the fire and stuff like that, you know, all this burning. So, like, right, let's put this out. And everyone just thought, there's an arrow there, let's leave it there.
That's nothing to do with it. We'll leave that there.
Nobody's taking it and say, oh, this is arson. Somebody used a bow and arrow. Yeah. No, it's still there.
But I think there was just a general unreality about the backgrounds of where people were.
The problem with DC, especially if you're involving Batman, is Gotham is dark and dingy. Mm. It's a run-down shithole.
Yeah.
You know, it's Gotham, it's gothic, it's meant to be that. But
I just realised I must live in Gotham. No.
But this has sort of taken the idea of Gotham and made it everywhere. Mm. Metropolis is sort of the reverse of Gotham. Yeah. Every time you watch something where it's been, you know, about Superman in cartoons or comics, it's always sun. Yeah. It's always daytime. Mm. Everything looks bright and shiny. Yeah. Yeah. People are walking around in fresh pressed suits and stuff, whereas Gotham, it's dark and dingy.
It's dark and rainy and grey and drab.
Outfits and stuff. This seems to have like made Gotham spread almost. So
But I felt that generally everywhere they were, there was sort of, because obviously so much of this is done on the green screen. Presumably a lot of the
Themyscira was the only place that was quite sunny, and bright.
That's easy for you to say.
Themyscira,
the mascara. But no, I mean, I just felt that I didn't believe in the places they were, and that's just my perception of it. You know, I perhaps wasn't able to sort of suspend my disbelief enough. And another thing, which is always a problem with these films, when you've got these massive earth-threatening disasters and things, the whole world's... But you never see the human angle.
Yeah.
Now, in Whedon's film, you did have that one scene, and I know that people criticise that scene, where you get that Russian family and Superman flies past.
Yeah, I was surprised the Russian family completely taken out of it.
Because that did
but give it a... But that must have been the entire Joss Whedon's
That was
work.
Entirely his... But I felt that there was no sense of... Because you don't see any real people. Mm. Once Superman's back to life, you don't see anybody... Who's not superhuman or monstrous fighting? You think, well, what are they fighting for? Because I've not got any connection with Earth.
Well,
if you have shots of people screaming or people dying or anything, that makes it more, you know, front and center. Because
this is where the opening of Batman v Superman did well with Bruce in Metropolis, and everything's crumbling around, and Bruce Wayne as Bruce Wayne was helping people. You know, you got to see the scale of the Superman fight against. I was going to say Grodd, but it's not Grodd. That's Gorilla Grodd against... What's his name? Zod. Yeah. Gorilla Grodd. Not him. That's Flash.
God, it's a totally different person.
You got to see the impact of what that battle had. Buildings falling down and stuff. This one, it didn't quite strike me that until you just said it.
The end is very much just that CGI thing of things hitting each other and flying through the air. And
Welcome to a superhero movie.
Welcome to a particularly a DC superhero. I mean, let's face it, even WandaVision went down that road in its last
episode. WandaVision, Black Panther.
Yeah. And they all do it. Stuff, but this was, because there were so many characters, I suppose, and so much of it. I think if you look at Avengers, for example, you get the Battle of New York City, and you see people in it.
Yeah.
It just places it. Although you've got superheroes fighting aliens, you see the people. You see the people that are at stake.
The final battle was held in a... sort of small town place that people might not actually live because Steppenwolf actually says in this version, he says, oh, it's very nuclear toxic. This is where I need to start because obviously, because I don't know if you know anything about the planet Apocalypse. With a K. It's very industrial. It's lava everywhere and stuff. So that would have made him feel very.
The setting was this supposed to be Chernobyl? This was on Chernobyl's base.
I don't know if it is Chernobyl, but
it was supposed to be that sort of.
Atmosphere. Yeah.
And I must admit, I found the idea of them saying we don't know where Darkseid's base is. It just made him sound like a cheap supervillain who's got a base. He's supposed to be this sort of godlike creature, but he's got a base. You would think he would be in another dimension or not in the base. But then that's just me, very, very nitpicky, I suppose. Generally, I enjoyed it much more than I thought I would. I don't know if enjoyed is the right word. But, I appreciated it more. I didn't enjoy it in the way I enjoy another superhero product.
Yeah.
Will remain nameless. But I found it much more palatable than the original. It was just irritating me.
But it felt like a completed movie.
It felt like a complete movie...
God, it felt like a complete movie. But it felt like a complete story. You know, it had to be, it made sense, whereas the original didn't. There were so many bits you thought, well,
I think the biggest thing that made sense this time is how Steppenwolf was able to find the mother boxes. Because at the beginning, you know, you, much like Batman vs. Superman did, you get the end of Batman vs. Superman, the start of this film, Superman screaming. And the power, because obviously he's got very powerful screens, and if he's dying, he's probably not going to be able to control him. And the power of his screens, and I thought that was really nicely done, just his screens going across, and each of the characters like hearing that scream. But the power of that scream activated the mother boxes, and that was such a better reason than just, oh, there's Parademon there.
Yeah.
Why is he here?
Yeah.
Look at those boxes on the wall.
Yeah.
And throughout then, you know, it was explaining how Steppenwolf was able to find the locations of each of these mother boxes instead of just turning up, which is what he did in the original. It was like, oh, Steppenwolf's here.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Don't know. He's just there. He found it.
And one thing I did like as well, I think I've said in the past how Wonder Woman's been in four films now. Nobody's ever called her Wonder Woman. Well, Flash did it in this, so at least we know that's the name she is known by.
I did have an odd sort of opinion of one scene.
Your opinions are always odd.
Which was, I don't understand the concept behind this, but as they're approaching, you know, Steppenwolf has captured these people and he's looking to interrogate them for location of the mother box.
Yeah.
They're approaching it and they're walking up these steps and there's some hardcore rock music as if it's a big fight scene.
Yeah.
And they're slow motion walking up these steps like, and they're walking up these steps. Look, this doesn't feel like the right music for this. I just feel like as they're editing the sound, they've accidentally put it over here when they need to slide it towards where the fight scene was.
Possibly.
Rather than there because, they're walking up these steps, you've got this hardcore rock music and I don't know if this was a joke.
I think perhaps it's supposed to say, look how tough these people are.
Yeah, well, it's another, because there's a lot of montage sort of music playing travel bits such.
I think a lot of the music, I wasn't familiar with all the music, but I think a lot of it is some of Zack Snyder's favourite music and the music that connects him to his daughter who passed away. And I think it's even dedicated to his daughter.
It is, yes. Yeah. Hey, don't get me wrong, I love that kind of music. You know, it's rock music. I like rock music. I like a bit of metal music.
But I quite like some of the rap. You know? I quite like some of the stuff, the sort of Iceland stuff with Aquaman, when you have that sort of mournful sort of, I think it goes on a bit too long, which is a euphemism for the whole film, really. But those sort of unusual, sort of mournful, like dirgy songs that you get.
Wonder Woman had a lot of stuff. But then it was nice to see Willem Dafoe. Make an appearance.
But the thing I do like always is when Wonder Woman's going, you get that Wonder Woman musical sting, which I think is great. And I also like the fact that when Wonder Woman, they've still got that ridiculous bit where the bank robbery thing is happening in London, and she's, for some apparent reason, just standing on the top of the scales of justice. How did you get there, love? Why are you up there?
Well, she can fly.
Yeah.
She can fly as far as 84 is concerned.
Why did she happen to be there? But of course, and somebody pointed out, actually, she goes through this huge battle scene and kills all these people and blows up all these. And then there's this little girl, you can be what you want to be. You can do this too. You can go around slaughtering people.
Yeah.
I'm Wonder Woman.
It's like, well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to kill people. But no, I think it is a much better experience. The epilogue, as you say, that last 20 minutes, and I know it was there to tease Martian Manhunter and to tease the possibility of a sequel, but I think that knowing when he was editing it, there's not going to be a sequel. He could have cut all that out.
Yeah.
And he could have finished with that lovely hero shot of them all, you know, the camera pans across them all. It's lovely because the Flash is sort of laughing. And they could have had a dubbed line saying, you know, we would now fight against evil as the Justice League. Because they never called the Justice League.
No.
And it could
have there are signs to say the Justice League in, like, the future.
Yeah, but they're not sort of, it would have been nice if you'd had Batman and brought them together saying, well, we've defeated him, but we'll be, you know, something along those lines of, we will be vigilant for further battles that must be fought. We are the Justice League. And that would have wrapped it up nicely and left it. But now he's added this coda that doesn't mean anything, because whether he was doing it to try and persuade the studio to still go on and do something.
As I said, I think it's pandering for a sequel. And, you know, we won't find out if it worked until the full viewing figures are in.
I don't think it's going to happen, because I think even this week, head of Warner Brothers or HBO, somebody said, this is the end of that universe. You know, these characters will return, but not like this.
Yeah.
So, and again, my main fear has always been, because of the social media victory of getting this done, we've seen it already. They're demanding the director's cut of the original Suicide Squad, because they think they've got power now, and I think this is always the problem. So whilst I'm pleased for the fans who wanted this, that they got it, and I hope they liked it.
I never asked for it, but I'm glad I got it.
Leave it there now. Don't go asking for the director's cut, because the director of Mrs. Doubtfire this week said, oh yeah, there's an adult version of that, director's version of that, and you just think now that they're all going to do it. And
We're going to get a bunch of remakes pluses.
Yeah. Now. Well, we're not going to get remakes. We're just going to get stuff that's been hidden in the archives, jammed into old films, and re-released on streaming services for some easy dosh. And I don't really want to go down that road. I don't want fans to demand this stuff because they've had it once. Don't think of this as a victory going forward. Just think of this as a victory for what you wanted.
It might spark up the old redo Game of Thrones seasons 6 again, so 7 and 8. And...
But that would be refilming it all. I mean, it's not like...
You know, yeah, but people won't see it that way. People will just say, if they can do it, I can do too.
I think that people watch things and think that they, you know, can happen overnight. Mm. But film and TV take years and years of planning.
When was Justice League originally released?
17, 18.
We're in 21 now. Yeah. And we're only just getting the Snyder Cut. Yeah. Granted, it probably had a bit to do with Zack Snyder's probably wanted some time with his family and
I think probably the studio needed persuading it was worth doing. And I think whether it was completely the fan lobby that made it happen or some sort of discussions about making a bit more money from something which hadn't done that well internationally. I don't know. But at the end of the day, it's out there. It's actually quite good. Leave it there. Don't demand more because...
Well, the thing is, the situation, thankfully, is quite unique that the director had to leave, not through choices of his, and yes, his version didn't actually get made because they had to finish it up with somebody else. Yeah. So it's quite unique that the director couldn't finish it off through no fault of his own, but still wanted to finish it off.
And of course, this version, although it's the Snyder Cut, it's probably not the cut he would have made at the time.
Yeah.
Because in making
it would have
this,
had to been 2 hours.
In making this, he's had to take out stuff that was in there and work around that. So it's...
Well, he would have had to have made a 2-hour film.
Yeah.
Which he clearly had an idea of a 4-hour film because that's what we got.
Yeah.
So, you know, it definitely would have been a better idea to have made 2 films out of this. But common sense says, now hopefully this is a lesson for anybody that wants to start a universe, is don't rush it.
Yeah.
Because we've seen it rush with Kong and Godzilla. Mm. They're already fighting, next month.
Yeah.
And it's the 3rd film. Yeah. This should be a big climactic thing of a universe.
Yeah.
But everybody, because Marvel started this sort of universe thing successfully by taking its time, didn't have anyone to compare it to.
Yeah.
Everybody else has Marvel to compare to.
Yeah.
And the trouble is
they want to get to the end point of that without taking the steps to get there.
They
want
to be able to, because Marvel did like 4 or 5 movies of these characters that were then going to appear in Avengers, then did the Avengers. And it's just so many studios want that, but they're not willing to put the money up in the first place to take that path.
It's laziness on their part, and it's a little bit offensive to the fans because they think fans will lap up any old thing if it's a universe. But no, you have to do this properly.
Yeah. And DC is a prime example of that. Thankfully, we have got this to kind of say, this is what this movie was meant to be. Because the unfortunate thing is that we've just had Wonder Woman out as well. So, you know, that's another DC
thing. Clunker. And this is why I get exasperated with DC. They've got these great characters, but they don't have a proper strategy in making good. We were talking about it earlier on. I'm going to have to mention the M word again. But no matter what you think of the M word, Marvel stuff, okay? Whatever you think of Marvel stuff, you may think it's formulaic, you may think it's this, it's that. They know how to create what people want. Now, we don't know how long this is going to last. The bubble's going to burst at some point. They've got a lot of obscure characters coming up. Will they ride over this? But they've got a vision to do it and the confidence to do it. And they've done WandaVision, which was so totally different to everything they've done before. Now they're going back to sort of the basics with Falcon and Winter Soldier. But they manage this stuff and they think about how they're going to do it. And I think they've got the confidence of the public to give them the benefit of the doubt. DC, however, are so up and down. You know, for every Wonder Woman, you get a Wonder Woman 1984.
Yeah. Well, I can comfortably put this movie in with Aquaman, the first Wonder Woman film, Shazam, and this. You know, as a DC film that I've quite happily enjoyed.
Yeah, the films I could watch again. I mean, I would watch this again. And I did appreciate the chapter points because that gave me convenience.
I was
going to
say, if anybody's worried about watching a 4-hour film, throughout it does pop up part ways, like reading a book, gives you a chapter title.
I think
title.
There's six different chapters, so it was very helpful because I think I watched two and then stopped and then two more.
Yeah.
So you don't have to watch it in 4 hours. And because 4 hours is a slog, there's no doubt about it. And I would imagine watching it, although I know people have watched it a couple of times and they didn't find it a slog. You know, it depends on how you like to watch
it. I didn't find it a slog in the slightest. It's just that I put it on a bit too late at night.
I found the first hour very turgid because it was setting the scene, and I understand that.
It's like the first episode of a series, isn't it?
In retrospect, you look back and say, well, okay, I can see you needed that, but it did, because it just reminded me. And I think I was in that frame of mind thinking, come on then, make this, you know, convince me that this is worthwhile. Yeah. And it took me that first hour to think, okay,
well,
this is going to be okay.
You have that sort of resentment with you because you know, you haven't really liked many of the DC films and you really didn't like Justice League very much at all. So you had that initial resentment of saying, well, I didn't like this film.
Yeah.
And it is still the same film.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem with it.
The story is exactly the same. Yeah. So don't go into this expecting a whole new story.
Although I'm really pleased in the battle of the, you know, with the gods and stuff like that, I'm glad they put Darkseid into that and not Steppenwolf, because it makes more sense for it to be Darkseid. And he looked really good.
Yeah.
I was a bit concerned because I was like, where's his laser beams? Where's his eye beams? He's got very telltale jagged beams that kind of crisscross all over the place.
Yeah.
And they finally put it in.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, thank God for that. But they did take away Cyborg's prime line. Booyah.
Did he say that in the
original?
In the original, he did.
In the original, he did.
Yeah.
It was one of those, I just done something cool, look towards the camera, booyah.
Yeah.
They didn't use it in this, which, and this is Cyborg's like primo line. Yeah. You know, it's what he always says.
To be honest, it's not a great line, is it really?
Well, it is for Cyborg. Yeah, but you know, if you know Cyborg, it's sort of pandering to fans who know Cyborg. So when
at least
says
it's
it,
not as
go,
irritating
yeah.
as How Wooed.
How Wooed. Yeah. Misa Jar Jar Binks.
No, stop now.
Misa hears Big Mechanics. Oh, no.
That's too much like him for comfort.
Yeah.
But no, so ultimately, don't go in expecting a completely new film experience. It's the same film, but better paced, better characterization, more motivation, and more explanation.
It is funny, though, when you say better paced, you think, well, it better fucking be for 4 hours.
You know, it is a slog, but I think once you got to the end, you see that it was probably worth the slog. Whether it's a great film going forward, whether it'll be regarded as one of the great superhero films, I don't think it will. But I think it redeems what was a mess.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to become one of those ones where people sit down and go, let's watch that. No. I will, because I'm a fan of the characters. I didn't mind the original. I quite enjoyed this one, so I probably will watch it again. Not often. Probably as often as I would say watch Lord of the Rings again. Yeah. You know, because Lord of the Rings, the extended edition. If you don't watch the extended edition, you're not
watching. There's no point
watching
them, really. You get.
And the thing is that that's a good example of a good movie getting an extended edition to this movie getting a please kind of make this better.
Yeah.
Because Lord of the Rings didn't need to be begged to make an extended edition. Lord of the Rings was welcomed to have all the deleted scenes and everything they filmed. This, it was almost like a beg of, please give us something
good. This is like a rescue mission for something that hadn't worked. Lord of the Rings was just a bit more of what you liked.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings was good enough for people to go, we want to see more of this.
And we like being in that world, which is the pass I always give the Hobbit films. I know they're unnecessary and overlong, but I just like the world that he created in those films.
On Peter Jackson's fault.
No, not his fault. I totally blame the studio for that. But even so, I still like watching those films because I like the world.
And I thought that, you know, there's a lot more bumbling about than the original, but I suppose The Hobbit was written a bit more for children than The Lord of the Rings were.
Exactly.
The Hobbit could have easily have been one film.
It could have been 1-2.5 hours.
Maybe even better as a TV series.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
We've got the Lord of the Rings film, the series coming up.
Yeah, that's Amazon Prime, isn't it? Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. I think it's a bit too soon to do a TV series of an epic like that people still watch and love.
There have been some rumours, some cast members have left.
Oh.
There's been talk of certain creative problems. Dun. So Amazon is spending billions on this, so a lot is riding on this.
Yeah. Do you know the one film I've always thought, there is no way you can do a remake is It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, I think there was talk of Ron Howard or somebody doing something like that at some point, but I think hopefully they realise
stuff like that is just such a uniquely fantastic film.
Well, if you think of the way it would have to be compromised if they did it now, you just couldn't do it with that sense of innocence that it's got.
Yeah, it wouldn't work in this day and age. So,
so Justice League. Justice League. Your marks out of 10 for it?
Marks out of 10. I was going to give it a 7, but I'm pushing it to an 8.
Well, that's fair enough.
The more I thought about it and over the past couple of days and stuff, and you know, I've talked about it to a few few people, I thought, you know what? No, I'm going to give it an 8 because I did enjoy it a heck of a lot more. And I don't know if I'm pushing it to an 8 because I'm thankful that I enjoyed it a bit more. But I will be watching it again very soon.
Well, I will get the Blu-ray when it comes out, or the 4K or whatever, to see if it looks better on the physical media, which I imagine it will. Yeah, my initial thoughts were, this is a 6 out of 10, possibly a 6.5. But, again, having thought about it a little bit, I think I appreciate, although it's not, you know, it's by no means a perfect film, and there's lots of stuff that is irritating about it, the slow motion and, you know, the certain saggy bits. I'm glad that the fans have got this that they wanted, and I hope that they enjoy it. And I think I'm glad for Zack Snyder, who had the chance to tell the story that he wanted to tell. And that alone makes it worth 7 for me. So I'm going to bump it up from the 6, 6.5 to 7, because I think I like more of it than I...
Yeah.
I didn't really dislike any of it. Some of it just bored me.
Well, you have your reservations because you know what DC's track record is.
Yeah.
And I will say, it was nice to have that little sort of Zack Snyder comment at the beginning. He did a little speech to the camera to say...
And I did appreciate that. And at the end of it, well, not the end of it, what should have been the end, that hero shot, I generally thought, I would like to see this team do in another story.
But we're probably going to have to stick to the animated movies for that one, kids.
Great. So that's Justice League. It's available now on Sky Cinema in the UK via Now TV, and it's coming out on physical media, I think, in May.
I believe it's
in May. So I'll probably pick up a copy and again watch it at my leisure. I will never sit down and watch all 4 hours of it, but the chapter points make it something you can split it. Personally, I think it works better.
That was a good touch chapters. To put in there, rather than just saying, here's the movie, stop on your fancy.
Exactly.
You know, they've actually segregated it for you to make.
But the important thing is, what did you people think of it? Let us know by emailing us at tvzoneplus@mail.com or look out for our Facebook page. But we did have a couple of letters. It's your letters. It's your letters. We've had a couple of responses. We always appreciate hearing from you. We'd love to hear from more of you, but of course, that's entirely down to you. We had an email from John Emson down in New Zealand.
Good old John.
Speaking of Lord of the Rings, I will just run through as much of this as I can.
I like that.
It's good, isn't it? Yeah. Hi, folks. Still enjoying the show. Oh, I didn't mean to say that. And I'm happy that you've gotten back to a regular schedule. Yeah, I'll be back in a month's time. So you wanted views on Zack Snyder's Justice League. I don't really have anything revolutionary to say, as my opinion seems to match the majority of comments I've seen on the socials, as I said on Mr. Mount's Facebook page. It's all right. I've seen the original cut, of course, but I have very little recollection of it. So my experience of watching the new cut was a string of moments with me thinking, oh yeah, that happened. In terms of the actual plot, there's very little new going on, despite all the buzz about 80% new footage. Perhaps I was naive, but I was hopeful of at least a few departures from the first movie. Instead, it was 70% alternative or expanded takes and 10% additional scenes that fitted into the same plot. Was it better? Yes, but not by much. It seemed to hang together better, but didn't go far enough in correcting the mistakes of the previous effort. It was too long, trying to cram in 6 major characters when only 2 of which had had solo movie beforehand. Not too much of an issue, and I appreciate the extra character exposition, but it shouldn't be at the expense of plot and pace. Cyborg benefited the most, but he's still a misery ass. He's got good reason to be, really. He is sort of like budget Iron Man in a way, isn't he? Flash, however, came out of it really badly, in my opinion. Almost Lex Luthor levels of annoying from this whiny little sausage-saving fan strangler. How did he get his powers? And where, as an underachieving slacker, did he get such a high-tech suit? Why was his dad in jail? Who cares? Fair points. It's also too dark, both visually and...
It does tell you why his dad was in jail.
Does it?
Yeah.
Why?
He is in jail because it was believed that he murdered his wife.
Oh, that's in the TV series as well.
They do talk about it here. It's basically in passing conversation between them, but they do mention it.
It's a fairly big plot point, though, really. Yeah, I know. Anyway, I know. I agree with this. Of course, it's also too dark, both visually and tonally. First, give your lenses a clean, Zach. They're caked in mud. Second, how fucking miserable is everybody? At this point in the DCEU, the first JL movie, I want a proper superhero film with bright colours, exciting action, and heroes being heroic. Yeah.
Hey, Paul, did you write this?
It does sound like me. Go dark later. All this for mature audience stuff can get in the sea. I don't want a murderous Wonder Woman, an effing and jeffing Batman, severed limbs flying across the screen. Well, I do want that, just not here. I love Watchmen, and I'd give a kidney to see Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns on the big screen in live action. For all its darkness, though, it didn't really have a sense of peril for regular folk. It's all well and good, supervillains and superheroes bashing each other in exotic locations, but any risk to humanity is not explicitly addressed. Yeah. Maybe the Atlantis scrap caused the price of halibut to go up in the local Iceland. Probably. Finally, the epilogue. Pointless. There's not going to be a Zack Snyder's Justice League 2. There's not going to be a Joss Whedon's Justice League 2. So, other than adding 15 minutes or so to the runtime, why bother? In fact, it was a missed opportunity to jettison the torture of the extra Lex Luthor scene. So there we have it, a slightly less flawed Justice League. I enjoyed it more than you may think, given some of my comments, but it's in the unusual position of having a real benefit of hindsight, so should have been pushing for a 10 out of 10. If this was the only version to have been released, I'd give it a 7. I'm settling on 6.5. Stay safe, and until the next time, keep it Marvel. And he does say that. Look, that's not me saying it. Yeah, he does say that. Thank you, John.
Yeah, very similar opinions to ourselves,
pretty
really.
Much, really. That's a combination of what we both thought, in a way, with it. We also heard from Nizreen, didn't we?
We did, yes.
We got that available?
I believe that's the first time. No, you had it. I asked if you were reading them, and you said, I'll do it.
I said, you do Nizreen, and I'll do John, because I like the sound of my voice.
But, yes, very similar to our opinions there, and 6.5 is a little bit lower than ours.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're right there. But Nizreen, I don't think we've ever heard from Nizreen before.
I don't think we have. Thank you very much for
Thank you
touch.
Very much again in touch.
Nizreen, why are you so long?
Are you a new listener to us? Because we obviously know you from the Geeky Sci-Fi groups. You're one of the admins.
Yeah.
Are you a fresh listener? Have you listened all along and just kept quiet in the background?
Or have you just responded to my post without listening? In which case, go to your room.
She's not going to hear that today. Go to your room if she just doesn't listen. Yeah, it's true.
That's a bit of a paradox. hang on. Yeah, keep talking.
We're just waiting for Paul to fumble through.
Keep talking. This is a man on the internet here.
Just to talk a little bit then while Paul looks through there about the Star Wars content that Paul is going to be discussing. Every episode of the podcast, he's going to watch a new episode of Star Wars. We're going to discuss it throughout. He's not going to be watching the Clone Wars animated series or anything like that. He's just going to stick to the movies, but he's also going to be including a Star Wars story, films like Rogue One and Solo. So we'll be discussing each movie individually. And then when we go through that, we'll see what he thinks as not a massive Star Wars fan talking to a pretty big Star Wars fan. How are we going?
No, keep going. Keep going, keep padding. Okay. What did you have for lunch, Scott?
KFC.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, it was lovely. Thanks for yourself.
That's okay.
So, the end of Justice League. So, see, this is terrible. Right? It's just been blabbering around. In regards to Justice League DC, fingers crossed we're still going to get some top quality animated DC movies and series to watch because we're running out of good quality ones. I think the DC TV series are really drying up, aren't they? You know, we've had the Green Arrow and the Flash that did quite well there, you know, Legends of Tomorrow, but they're all dying out very quickly, I think. Because I know Black Lightning's finished.
Oh, Black Lightning's back. I will say, however, watch out for Superman and Lois, which I think is on about episode 4 in America. I've seen a couple of those.
Is this sort of like a remake of the old Superman TV series with Terry Hatcher?
It's sort of...
Not Terry Hatcher.
Yeah, Terry Hatcher. She was Lois Lane. Dean Cain.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Lois and Clark. This is Superman and Lois. This is sort of, I suppose you could say that's a version once they'd been married and had kids. And it's sort of that CW combination of like teens.
Yeah.
But it's got Tyler Hoechlin as Superman, who's appeared in Supergirl, I think. And it's very good. I've seen the first two episodes so far. I'm not sure when it's
debuted. So is this connected to the DCCW?
There have been no connections yet from the ones I've seen. Now, whether they're going to start doing
the same actor.
Yeah. But it's set, I don't know, because obviously he's got teenage kids now. So this presumably set 13, 14, 15 years in the future.
They got superpowers.
One of them might.
but I can't say too much at the moment.
I like how you say one of them might, when everybody in the entire world knows that they will.
Well, yeah. Well,
it's a different type. So basically, of story. This is Black Lightning superhero Superman version.
Pretty much, yeah.
Because it's the same anyway. You found it.
I found them. Yes.
Thank you for listening to my ramblings. Yes, this is the Scott Holmes Show. Boom.
We could have edited. We could edit all that out. Actually, Mr. Aaron Fennell said, "Waiting for the Blu-ray. I also have the other DCEU films on disc, so I'll pick this one up. I'm in no rush to see the film. Zack Snyder is a director with a track record of making terrible films, so I'm no particular hurry to see 4 hours of his work." Don't mess about, Aaron. Tell us what you think. Then Nizreen says, "I've seen it, loved it. So glad to have had the opportunity to see Zack's vision. Sincerely hope that the epilogue gets the opportunity to be elaborated on." We don't think so.
Yeah, it's not something that we're hopeful for. But I'm glad she liked it. I'm glad people out there are liking it.
Well, I'm, and like I said, I'm glad for the fans who wanted it. I'm glad that they got it, and I hope they like it. If they don't like it, then be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
But you know. Fans of other things, don't start thinking, "Oh, this is good. We'll get this cut of that film, this cut of that film." This is a one and done deal. So,
yeah, unique situation where the director had to leave on the negative reason, and they were able to finish their film. Yeah. So,
hooray for that! Yeah. And in fact, very much a big. Before we go for this extra episode, a quick news burst. Just a bit of film news, because yesterday, last night, it was announced that Disney have pushed back the release dates of several of their tentpole summer movies, most particularly, or specifically, Black Widow, which was due out, I think, towards the end of May. That's not only been pushed back to July, it's also been pushed back to appear theatrically and on Disney Plus for a fee at the same time. This is fairly seismic, because I don't think anybody expected Marvel to do that, because of course they want their films out there in the theatres making big money. It's almost an admission that they're going to have to sacrifice Black Widow to an extent to try and do what they can with it. This has also meant now that Shang-Chi, the Master of Kung Fu, or Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, or whatever it's called, which was due out in July, that's gone back to September. This must mean that Eternals, that was due out in November, has probably gone back. Whether this is going to affect Spider-Man, it may well be that Spider-Man will stay in December and Eternals will go
by the time Spider-Man comes out. Tom Holland will be in his 30s.
Well, Tom Holland will be in a bath chair. So I would imagine that they'll keep Spider-Man and possibly move Eternals back further again, because I would have thought they'd want a familiar character before introducing more unfamiliar characters. Yeah. So this is quite a big move. And I was watching some YouTube commentators talking about it last night, and they were saying it's fairly seismic, because it's Disney rolling over and saying, "We're not confident that the theatres are going to attract people back to them yet, even though they're open in America with something like a maximum of 50 and some, and bigger chains can have 100, which is not going to bring
it's
in the big money.
It's just not a big amount of not going to bring.
We may have said it before on the show, I just think that it could well be the multiplexes are just going to run one title for a week. Mm. Every showing is going to be one of the big films to get the audience that they would have had if they'd be on two or three screens. I don't know if that's how it's going to work. But it's a big thing, and lots of other films have gone back as well. I think Death on the Nile, the next Kenneth Branagh Poirot film, which was due out in November, has gone back to February. I think the Kingsman prequel film has gone back to the beginning of next year. A lot of films that were coming this year have fallen back again. So this is quite big in terms of Disney.
Could be our first cinema zone in an actual cinema.
Could be coming. Well, A Quiet Place is now coming out in May, so that's what I'm really looking forward to, A Quiet Place 2. And also announced yesterday that I think it's Warner Brothers have said that when the cinema, they've signed, they've got a deal with Cineworld, that their films are going to be released in cinemas with a 45-day theatrical window before they go to streaming. So where it used to be, you'd have to wait 3 months or something for a film to go on a streaming service or on physical media, you're going to have it for a month and a half, and then it's going to appear on streaming services. How is that going to affect the box office? People are worried about the cinema, they might think, "Well, I'll just wait 6 weeks and watch it at home."
It's a way they've got to try and work, and they've got to make their money somehow.
I think the pandemic has had, or will have, a huge effect on the cinema industry.
It's going to have a long-lasting effect.
Yeah.
Long-lasting effect, for sure. I mean, it already has. Yeah. I mean, there's no way we would have got things like Raya and The Last Dragon on streaming services like we did.
Well, Wonder Woman came out on a streaming service, and it's just arrived on physical media.
Although it probably belongs on a streaming service with the quality of it.
So it's interesting. There's a big things happening in the cinema industry, and I think that we'll find cinema and streaming services
working hand in hand together to benefit each other in the future. And I think it could be that the days of the $1 billion box office is gone. Perhaps, you know, we're going to see films, you know, getting their income from different sources now, from streaming, from physical media, from theatrical releases.
It's something we spoke about maybe halfway through the pandemic when cinemas were fully closing and stuff. We were saying, is the new source of movies going to the streaming services?
Well, I don't think anybody expected it to go on this long. You know, it's a year. We have just commemorated a year of the lockdown starting, and the world's changed a lot since then, and the change is still to come.
Well, the thing is, we know that lockdown is lessening here in
things are starting to ease a little bit.
But the rates have gone back up since the schools have gone back in.
And there's a third wave in Europe, which is coming this way. So this isn't over.
Well, my brother works for Cardiff Council, and he's just moved off. He was on the track and trace. They called to say, look, you've been in contact with somebody with COVID. Gives them all the information, the details. He's now gone to an inbound team where people phone in to say, I think I've got this, what shall I do?
Yeah.
So it's now, and he said the other day, he said the rates are going back up.
Yeah.
You know, he obviously gets information quite quickly compared to, you know, we'll check online, or one website says it's going down, one website says it's going up. But he said that the rates, since the schools have gone back, they're going back up, and that is going to happen all the time.
Yeah.
You know, our only hope is this jab, which I've had my first one.
Yes, I've had mine since we spoke.
I fell quite ill from mine. I was really surprised because I had it at 1 o'clock. Excuse me, I was fine throughout the day. When I put my head down to settle down to sleep and relaxed, my body was acting like I was sat down in the Arctic. It would not stop shivering. I wasn't cold. Didn't feel cold at all, but my body would not stop moving. To the point where I had to wake my wife up and say, love, I cannot keep still, I cannot stop. I felt like I was the biggest fidget in the world. And then when I woke up, I had headaches, aches, but that could have been from all of the shivering.
Mm.
But I felt so tired. Mm. I don't sleep throughout the day usually. You know, I'm not a fan of naps. I had seven naps. That day pretty much didn't exist for me.
It's strange, isn't it, how it affects different people in different ways. I've had quite a few people. A friend of mine in North Wales had a similar thing. He had to go to bed the next day because he felt so rough.
Yeah.
I sailed through it. I didn't have a thing. I was fine. Nice. But the only effect I had was yesterday. I was knackered. I don't think it affects you like nearly 2 weeks later.
I doubt it.
No, I was just knackered yesterday.
But I have been told the second jab, my mother-in-law, for instance, she was fine on the first, second, she was terrible.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out for that.
Well, my brother's having his second one tomorrow, so we'll see what happens. But no, I had no problem.
If the second one is worse than the first one, I'm buggered.
Yeah.
I am buggered.
Well, if you think, when I had my first one on the Sunday, the next day I had to go into Cardiff because I was doing a voiceover thing.
Yeah.
And then I was out and about this Tuesday taking my friend to hospital because he had to have some tests. And then did I come to you on the Wednesday?
Is that when we went to Canada Lakes?
No, that was last weekend.
Was that last weekend?
Yeah. But no, I certainly had a busy few days and I didn't feel at all, I didn't feel any effects from the jab.
Oh, Thursday. Because you gave me a lift to my...
That's right, yeah. Training thing. So no, I had no after effects or side effects at all. I was quite lucky in that respect. But yeah, I'm sort of conscious I got the second jab coming up. But the good thing is, about 30 million people have had the jab now, so whether that's enough to fend off the effects of a third wave or not, we don't know as yet. But the third wave is coming.
My second one's in June.
Yeah.
So the third wave will be here by then.
Yeah. I don't know when mine. I haven't heard yet, but hopefully it won't be too long.
Did you not give it straight away?
I had my first one, yeah. But I didn't. Yeah, did they give me a date? No, they said they'd ring me for the second date.
Oh, they literally gave me a card.
What do you have?
The Oxford one, whatever that one's called, the anesthetist judy dooby doo.
AstraZeneca?
That's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't say Themyscira. I can't say
AstraZeneca.
AstraZeneca. I can say.
Fortunately, neither of them we have to use in conversation very often.
Yes.
Luckily. But no, I think I had AstraZeneca. Or was it Pfizer? I can't remember. Anyway, they just said they'd ring me. But I think it depends on where you have it done.
Did you have to wait there for 15 minutes before going
in? No, afterwards.
Yeah, so after you had the other one to me.
Yeah.
You would have had the Russian one.
Right.
The Viskin.
Pfizer.
Because I didn't have to wait.
Oh.
They gave me the jab.
Keep talking.
And I walked out.
Keep talking. I got,
and that was it. Fine.
I got my thing in here. I know this is great radio.
we've gone from we're just having a general conversation.
I had AstraZeneca.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't have to wait the 15 minutes afterwards.
I think it's because I drove.
Ah, possibly. Yeah.
Because they said to me, "Did you drive?"
She didn't ask me if I drove. She didn't know.
Oh, fair enough.
So yeah. That's that.
It's probably obvious looking at you. He's not a driver.
But we're going to go and watch a couple of episodes of Modern Family. Because, you know, it's 4 o'clock. We're going to chill out, watch some Modern Family. Yeah.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed this little bonus episode. We thought... How long has this been?
Hour and 4 minutes without editing.
That's more than enough. So. Because this would have been an extra hour we'd have done in the next episode.
Yes.
So now we can devote that to more... original content in the next episode, bearing in mind that you might not hear this for a week because I don't know how long it'll take to put it up. We'll be talking about The Irregulars, which arrives on Netflix this Friday, which is a new take on Sherlock Holmes. We'll be looking at the first 3 episodes of Invincible, the new animated series on Amazon based on Robert Kirkman's comic book. We'll be reviewing the first 2 episodes of Marvel's Falcon and Winter Soldier. We'll be talking about Star Wars The Phantom Zone. We'll be talking about...
Phantom Zone? Phantom Menace.
Just testing you. We'll be talking about The Fantastic Journey, the pilot of the 1970s sci-fi series.
Oh, a packed episode.
Packed episode, but luckily not lots of episodes of things to watch.
I will have Games Corner.
You'll have a Games Corner, of course.
Yeah.
So that's us for now. Don't forget, check out... What was I talking about? Oh yeah, check out my YouTube channel. Also, you may be interested, if you've been watching The One on Netflix, which we talked about the last episode. I had the very great pleasure of interviewing one of the stars, Zoe Tapper, for Starburst magazine. And the video of that has just gone live on Starburst's YouTube channel. So check that out. It's 35 minutes of me being witty and sophisticated.
35 minutes of lies.
Pretty much, yeah. So that's all. So check, there's lots of stuff going on. So check us out. We're all over the place. We're all over the place like a rash. Anyway, that's the end of this episode. I'm Paul Mount, your
Scott Holmes.
We'll see you soon for more fun and games.
See you Sunday.
Bye.
You have been listening to TV Zone Plus, hosted by Paul Mount and Scott Holmes.